Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. I wanted those to be the first words that you heard me say. Those may be the four most important words that you will ever hear me say. Those four words are the most comforting words that we could ever believe and say. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the reason why I say that, the reason why I start with that, because at the end of my life, I want to be known for someone who lived for Christ and died for Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. I also want you to know that because we're going to be talking about a lot of living today. A lot of living the Christian life, and it has to do with a lot of doing. And we're called to look at the example of Jesus Christ and look at what he did. And then we're called to do certain things for him. Now, if anyone knows me, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. You don't have to tell me twice. You need help with serving, I'm in. This is what I love to do. But I have to admit something, that as I was preparing for this message, I thought, you know, normally God gives me something very profound and he like rips my heart up, he tears my mind apart and he tosses me to the side and he shows me that he is Lord. And this particular preparation, I was thinking to myself, you know what, actually I'm quite good at doing this word that I'm about to preach right now. I'm actually good at doing this. And then I'm like getting caught up with all these things that I'm doing, all these ministry activities, outward acts of religiosity. And then I'm like, Lord, help me prepare for this message, even though I might not need your help. So then it snows, and then I find myself going out to shovel our driveway. And I shovel my driveway first, and I'm like, well, I'm the type of guy, I can't just stop at my own driveway. I have to shovel the neighbor next to me. She has a bad back. Her husband had heart surgery. I'm going to shovel theirs. And then I'm like, well, I can't just stop there. I gotta shovel the neighbor in front of me, that walkway, his driveway. And then I'm like, well, I gotta shovel the neighbor beside me. And maybe it was an impure motive. We don't get along. He's not really nice. I just wanted to rub it in. Like, hey, I'm helping you. And then I'm shoveling and I'm shoveling, and then all of a sudden some of the members of the community or a little complex come out and shoveling. One of our neighbors that I've never met, because our schedules, are completely different, and we're shoveling together and I'm shoveling and I'm looking at him and I'm like, hey, look at that. Oh, hey, whew. We're taking breaks together like this, and I'm like, whew, 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 whew. I got to get this done because I got a sermon to prepare. I got things to do. And then I come inside, I'm feeling all proud of myself. I shoveled the entire complex, and the neighbor was with me, and I'm like, what the? Like, okay. So then I come in, and then my wife asked me, hey, I saw the neighbor out there with you. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, she's like, did you talk to him? No, I didn't talk to him. I got things to do. I got a sermon to prepare. And then I'm like, oh, there you go again, Lord, teaching me. And then we have this meeting, a leadership development meeting, and Jonathan, our pastoral apprentice, was leading that. He was teaching us on spiritual formation, and he said something. He dropped so many knowledge bombs, it's not even funny, but he said something to me. He said something to all of us that really resonated. He said, our doing flows from our being. Our doing flows from our being. And I have to admit, three or four days before the message, I'm not even human. Don't even talk to me. I can't look at people. I can't be around people. I need to focus. And I was distracted with all these things that I had to do, and I still had to prepare for a message. And I was getting afraid. Fear was kicking in. I had nothing on paper. And then the thought of me coming up here, having to follow Pastor Chris's message from last week, he preached fire, and I'm like, how am I supposed to follow that? What can I add to that? Nothing. I started to get fearful, and anxiety was kicking in, and I'm like, thinking of myself. How am I going to look when I get up here? How am I going to offer something to you? And then it began to become really clear to me that my life was flowing in the direction of what I thought people cared about most. It wasn't flowing in the direction towards what God cared about most. And then I was sitting in fear. With fear comes lack of focus and doubt. And I'm like, what can I do to persuade you to follow Christ, to live a better life? And then the Spirit led me to this. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And I sat there and I'm like, I realized that I hadn't been giving God the reverence and the respect that he deserved. Fear gripped me. And I realized that I was approaching today too casually. I realized that I was approaching his word too casually. I realized I was taking God too lightly. I wasn't taking prayer seriously. All because I failed to acknowledge the greatness of God. I feel like that's the theme today. Isaiah 66 says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is this house that you would build for me? And what is this place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I don't want us to miss the magnitude of his greatness and get lost and focused on what we need to be doing for him and miss the fact that we're doing this for the Lord. We're talking about God, but this reality caused me, and it should cause all of us, to reevaluate our approach to worship, to come up with a different approach, to prioritize a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ over the outward acts of religiosity. And then why did Paul fear the Lord? In that scripture that was up there, you see a therefore. Of course, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you got to ask what it's there for. And this helped me. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul is talking about all the ministry that he's been doing. He said this, we make it our aim to please him, to please God. He didn't say we make it our aim or our goal to please people. In the next verse, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, the best thing that I can do to equip you today is to tell you the truth. And the truth is that one day every Christian will have to stand before Christ and to have his or her faithfulness or lack thereof evaluated. This caused me to ask myself a question. Knowing that everything good and evil will be repaid, how do I want to spend these last few days preparing for a message or living my life? How do we want to spend the week or the day, even the hour after? So my prayer before I dip into this message today is that we can all approach the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, with humility as we tremble at his word. So today we're going to be looking at the Bible. Anybody interested in looking into the Bible? Yes. Anybody want to hear the word today? I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The Bible, this is good to know. For those of you who may not be familiar with the Bible is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's formatted into books, chapters, and verses. And the Old Testament is the part of the Christian Bible that tells us about the Jewish people, their history, and God's words to them in the time before Jesus was born. And the New Testament is the part of the Bible that deals with the life and the teachings of Jesus and the early church. So today we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. This portion of scripture was written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this while he was in prison. Imagine that, encouraging people while he is suffering. Whoa. He wrote this to a congregation at Philippi who was believed to be probably the first church in Europe. And the purpose of what we're about to read is not only for the church of Philippi, but I believe it's for us too. It's to instruct the church to bring the mindset of Christ into the church rather than conforming to the world's mindset. So at this time, I would like to invite SC Youth Apprentice Leader Connor Thompson up for the reading of scripture.
Hi, I've been reading the scripture over the past few days, and I think it has some great merit to our everyday lives. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection from sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in the Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word.
Thank you. That is a powerful portion of scripture. Lord Jesus, I pray that we see you in this, that we don't just focus on ourselves. They reveal you in the words that I'm about to speak, Lord, that our eyes stay focused on you. May you penetrate deep into the hearts and minds of everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we've been in a series this last couple of weeks called Values. Super powerful series. Pastor Chris has been preaching the last couple of weeks. Like I said, he's been preaching fire. For those of you who don't know what a value is, Brené Brown said it really well. She said, a value is the way of being or believing that we hold most important. Living into our values means that we do more than profess our values. We practice them. Values shape what is visible. In fact, Brené Brown also said that you don't really know people until you take the time to understand their values. So let's take a few minutes of your time to get to understand some of the values that Sunrise Church holds most important. I want to do a little bit of a recap. In the first week, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Chris spoke about living expectantly in faith and generosity. He said that faith is like a muscle. And I remember that particularly because his foot was on my back at the time as I was doing push-ups. Faith is like a muscle. It involves work. When you work it, it grows. He says, living expectantly in faith doesn't mean that we just talk about our faith. We practice it. He gave us the example of chair faith and prayer faith. When you're talking to someone and they have some needs and you say, hey, bro, hey, I'll pray for you. You don't just walk away. Practicing our faith means you pray now. That was a reminder to me because I'm not very good at that. Living a life, is that my wife who laughed? Living a life of faith is why we partner with Cloverdale Community Kitchen and City Dream Center, because we can meet the needs of the people in the community. Showing your faith is practicing your faith. When you have faith, you show your faith. That's why we take the youth once a month into the community to serve others with our time and our abilities and our strength. That's why we do it. It shows our faith because we're aligning our lives with God's word. This is what Pastor Chris said. But more than that, the foundation of our faith. If you're a Christian, we are saved by grace through faith alone. But that faith that saves us is never alone. It is always visible in our lives. And then he talked about last week, which just really hit me right in my heart, sending people on mission to share the gospel. Did you know every follower of Jesus is called to participate in Jesus' redemptive purposes? Did you know that you didn't just come here to sit here and hear a message from a preacher talking like a public speaker? No, you're called to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus Christ to those far from God. You are called to do something, right? This kind of resonated with me because it reminded me of a book that I was reading. And the author of this book, church planter, Darren Patrick, he said, we can worship in heaven. We can talk to God in heaven. We can even read the word in heaven, but we can't share the gospel to our lost friends when we're in heaven. It is a command. It is crucial that we are called to share the gospel with those far from God. But not only are you called, you're sent. Not only are you called, you're sent. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, and so I send you. He doesn't want you to just be spectators and sit like fans. He wants you to get out on the field and be contributors, not just consumers. So living a life expectantly in faith means living a life on mission, which involves ministry. And ministry is all about living a life beyond ourselves for the sake of others. So the third value that I want to talk about today is ministering and living beyond ourselves. What does it look like to live beyond ourselves? First, the first thing you have to realize is all the blessings that we've been given. Jesus came to seek and save you. And once you put your faith in Jesus, you're saved. Now you're saved and you have His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is doing a work in you by changing you. You are saved and He is changing you. These are gifts. These are gifts to you, but they're not for you. Do we hoard these gifts and these blessings? No. We use them for the sake of others. But Jesus didn't just come to seek and save the lost. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, for you, for our sake, for your sake. In fact, the price that He paid on the cross, that blood that He shed, was the payment for you. You were bought with a price. You know what? You're not your own anymore. You belong to Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not saved to sit. You're saved to serve. This means that we, and I say we, capital W, capital E, we, all of us together, are not the center of ministry here at Sunrise. We exist not just for ourselves, we exist. Our lives are for the sake of others. We believe that living beyond ourselves produces real transformation when we go. Paul talked about this and he challenges his readers to follow the example of their Savior Jesus. By taking up a servant lifestyle, he said. But Paul, in that time and age in Rome, being a servant was counter to the values of the culture. No one wanted to be a slave or lower themselves. But I believe that a servant lifestyle is counter to the values of our society today. Because living beyond ourselves means giving up ourself. It means giving up selfishness. What is selfishness? Selfishness is that self-reference life. It's a life that we live for our own agenda, our own desires, our own preferences, our own purposes, our own motive. But Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. The word nothing doesn't leave any exceptions. It would have been easier if Paul said, hey guys, as if he would talk like that. Don't do most things out of selfish ambition. That would leave us like a little bit of an escape clause, like we can do some things, but nothing is a definite word, and it requires an ongoing commitment to humility. You see, the idea of self, it usually means this, that this is a person that wants to advance their own cause, and even if it is at the expense of another person. How many times have we seen people, whether it's in business and organizations and in life, stepping on people to get to the top, only to achieve what they wanted in life, to be successful, to be known, to be rich. But it's not just in life, it happens in the church too, or Paul wouldn't have been writing to a church. Right. It becomes all about our preferences, all about our preferences. It's, you know what? I'm on staff, ministry staff now, but there was a time when I was just a part of the congregation and I just sat and took in the messages and I would sit there and I'd be like, well, what about me? What about my needs? What about my needs? What about my wants? Hey, what about my music style? Margie, why don't we play a little more Christian hip hop up in here? Why don't we get Keel up here and Adam getting on the drums? I want that beat, you know, like I want that beat. But wait. What about my style? What about, hey, Pastor Braden, why can't we play more hymns, those traditional, more holy hymns? How about that? My music style. Oh, my desired length and order of services. Hold on a second. Pastor Chris, why can't I preach for 6 hours? Why can't I preach and have no worship and just preach all day? Hey, why can't I have more of my youth programs every night of the week? Why can't my needs be met? Anybody know anyone like that? My. It's so hard for a my person to live for the sake of others because they're just so busy thinking about themselves. But you know what? This attitude and this mindset actually leads to death. Whoa. I don't want to die, Chris. It actually leads to death. I'm preaching it. I'm going to preach it. You know what I like? I love our pastors. They always feed us nurturing information. And in the weeks leading up to this, Pastor Chris put in my hands a summary of a book that just kind of like opened my eyes. The book was called The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. You know what an autopsy is? It's what they do to find out how the person died. What was the cause? And the author takes all of us through, the readers through, the pain of discovering why it happened. He said in most cases it was like a slow erosion. He talked about the personal preference problem that I mentioned. He also talked about how the Great Commission became the Great Omission. We're called to go and make disciples. And this dying church stopped going. The scripture says, Jesus says, I have all authority. And he's basically giving this, empowering his disciples to go, to be dependent on Jesus. The dying church stopped depending on Jesus. They chose their own comfort. It was too uncomfortable to share the gospel. Put your hand up if it's uncomfortable to share the gospel. Can you just go out in the streets and say, Jesus Christ is Lord? What's going to happen? That might be easy, but how about that person at work? How about that person, the family member? It's a little bit harder, right? It's uncomfortable. You know, another thing that was revealed in this autopsy of a dying church is that the church rarely prayed. This convicted me because if I'm honest, sometimes I ain't got time to pray. I got ministry to do. That's my mentality. Imagine not praying. To the early followers, a failure to pray was like a failure to breathe. They were more devoted than what we see now today. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that the early followers were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They leaned in. They came to hear the word like all of you today. They leaned in to the gathering and the fellowship, hanging out with fellow believers. They leaned in to eating and breaking bread together. They leaned in to prayer. They were devoted. One pastor said from this dying church, he said, that was the beginning of the decline that led to our death. He says, we stop taking prayer seriously. Right. Boom. I'm getting ready to preach. And I remember Ike saying, is Ike here today? Okay, I remember Ike, you're watching online. Ike told me that you should pray 5 hours before every preach. I mean, 5 hours? I barely pray 20 minutes sometimes. This convicted me. Not taking prayer seriously results in death. But more than any one of those items, this is where it gets deep. These dying churches focus on their own needs instead of those of others. Their gaze was inward rather than outward. Their highest priority was preserving the way they had always done things, not the way that was uncomfortable. They chose the most comfortable path. And as a result of avoiding discomfort, this dying church failed to go out into the community. There are rare occasions where the members invited people to church, which is super good. But almost never was there any effort to go into the community. We talk about that and we sit here and it stirs you in your heart. And I know that it's stirring you right now. And by the time you reach the car, you're like, my life is too busy to even go and serve in the community. We need a motive. We need a motive to live beyond ourselves. So I want to look at the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus had a motive for ministry. Jesus's motive for ministry was communal compassion. Compassion, Matthew 14 says this. You see this in Matthew 14. I wanted to point this out because there's a few things in this passage that is super powerful. This is an example of Jesus and his disciples living beyond themselves. They go into a community of people, but right before Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus does some ministry. We read in verse 14 about his motive. He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. And that compassion moved him to do the ministry of healing the sick. This is the crazy part. The disciples, like me and you, they're like, hey, Jesus, it's getting late. Like, they're probably tired. They've been walking with Jesus across the land, doing ministry. Hey, Jesus, send the crowds away so they can go buy their own food. He's like, I picture him doing this. That won't be necessary. You feed them. Now, have you ever drove around any neighborhood and you see people that are homeless? You're like, they look like they're hungry. They look like they're cold. Somebody should do something about that. You feed them. But the crazy thing about this is Jesus brings his disciples into the ministry with him. In verse 19, he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Jesus performed the miracle, and he gets the disciples to distribute the miracle. And I'm thinking to myself, does Jesus really need the disciples? Does he really need us? He could make manna fall down from the sky. He could feed everybody out there. But the crazy part is this. He chose the disciples. Just like he chooses you and I to meet the needs, to be the bread of life to the people in need out in our community. But Paul says in Philippians 2 verse 1, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Do you have a motive? Do you have a motive? Compassion should be deep within us as followers. We know this. We know this because the same Spirit who moved Jesus in compassion lives in us. And that same Spirit yearns to direct us to meet the needs of those in our community, but not just our community, each other's needs, for the sake of others. Jesus is our example, but I don't want you to forget, Jesus Christ is Lord. Because now you're starting to think about yourself. You're starting to think, man, I got to do this and I got to do that. Yeah, I got to be more compassionate and go out there. And yeah, we maybe do. But don't lose sight that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is a reminder that Jesus is not just a great example and a moral teacher. Jesus Christ is Lord. And every believer has that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit in us. And we are called, Paul is calling us, to have the same mind and the same love, which is a call to unity, a oneness in purpose. And Paul was talking to a church that had problems at Philippi. People weren't getting along. They were drifting from their purpose. They were drifting from their values. And the crazy thing is, in some of the commentaries when I was studying this, it says that the church of Philippi was a very strong church. Very strong. Actually, like it said it twice. Wow. Kind of like our church. I believe we have a very strong church. Holy Spirit-led people of God on mission for Christ. People gathering, not even enough space in the parking lot to fit you in. We have a strong church because you seek God first before anything. And I see that. But you know what? Even strong churches have conflict and ego. Many were pursuing their own glory. Glory. Another definition of that would be adding weight to our lives. We want to add weight to our lives. In other words, we want to matter. In a message from J.D. Greer, he reminds me of this. We all want to matter. We all want recognition, significance. So we try to convince others with the things that we do. Oh, I hope people see me to see how good of a Christian I am, to see all the good deeds that I'm doing, all the ministry that I'm doing. I get caught up in that, and that's why I'm saying that. We end up comparing ourselves to each other. We end up competing. And we ask, hey, why are they being recognized up there? They've only been a Christian for like 3 months. And I've been a Christian my whole life. Paul says that's useless. Vain glory. Useless glory. But most often, those horizontal problems that we have in relationships with one another is a result of a vertical problem, our relationship with God. We forget Jesus is Lord. But how does Paul respond to that? I would have responded, hey, stop this nonsense. Stop it. Can't you just be happy for someone when they get recognized? Can't you just like praise God for what they're doing, for what he's doing in their life? Stop being so ridiculous. But he doesn't do that. He takes us to the greatest theological truth in the Bible. He takes us to Jesus Christ. He says this, if Jesus is God and became servant and died on a cross for you, you matter. I don't know who need to hear that because you might have come into today or maybe you tuned in online and you're just thinking, I don't matter. I don't have value. But what Jesus did on the cross for you shows that you are the most valuable thing to the living God. He gave his entire life for you. Right. And if you matter to the one whose opinion is the only one that matters, why are you seeking recognition and glory and significance from other people? This is what Paul is saying. Jesus lived his life as a servant, living beyond himself. You know what Jesus' glory was? Your salvation. Serving was never a threat for Jesus because he knew who he was. He knew his position with the Father. Similarly, when you know who you are in Christ, son and daughter of the Most High, new creation, masterpiece, one who belongs to God, rendering service shouldn't be a problem for you. Our doing flows out of our being. Can I get the worship team? Some hip hop. Is that Samuel in the back? Oh, okay. Oh, man. You matter. You matter. I feel like waiting for the music to start because it's just so much more spiritual when the music is on. But I want to say this. You matter because Jesus left the comfort and stability of heaven to live a life of service and instability and sacrifice, all for you, all for the sake of the world. You belong to God. And then Paul says in the scripture, he says this, is there any encouragement from belonging to God? Any comfort from his love? And then I'm reminded again that that comfort that we have, the comfort that we have, that when we can say Jesus is Lord, that comfort of his love, that the Lord of heaven and earth came down and sacrificed everything for you. These are all gifts, and they're not for us. They're not for you. They are for the sake of the world, and we are called to walk with each other in the hardest times of life. In our suffering, we're called to walk with each other because we have that comfort, and we have that compassion, and we share it. We share it with one another. Whatever you receive from Christ is not for you to hoard. It is to share with others. Paul's saying this, if Jesus did this for you, can you do this for the sake of others? Can you share the comfort, share the life and love from Jesus? And lastly, I want to say this. If you're a Christian, that means you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That means he has given you his Holy Spirit. He said this, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we could be the righteousness of God. He did it for our sake. He did it for your sake. Whether you're watching online or you're here, you may be able to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord right now. But for those who haven't yet, I want to give you this opportunity. And you know, before we leave, let's stand in honor of praying to God. Can we stand? And I'm going to pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for your example of living a life beyond yourself and dying on the cross for all of our sins. And you can say this prayer like it's personal, like it's between you and God, because this is your time to admit that you need God. This is your time to submit and surrender your life to God. Lord, forgive me for everything that I have done wrong and have not done. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for replacing me. I should have been on that cross after what I've done. I should have been on that cross dying, but you did it for me so that I can be righteous. You gave your life and you gave us your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just ask that by your Spirit, help us to live a life for you, a life that lives beyond ourselves for the sake of others. Let us worship.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.